Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Did you know on the 4th of July, what you're looking at right here is a Russian bomber. Reportedly by Fox News, they were intercepted right off the coast of California and Alaska on the 4th of July. I mean, there's a sense of urgency right here. I think about Pastor John Kilpatrick, a Church of His Presence, that his pastor, when he was growing up, told him very specifically. I mean, look at this. He said, "A man may tie his shoes in the morning, but an undertaker may untie them at night." There's a sense of urgency. We have to begin to understand. This is a moment we need to be alert. People are talking about eschatology, when the Lord's coming back. If you die in the midst of a crisis, the Lord came back for you. We need to wake up and let people know that tomorrow is not guaranteed. You need to make a decision about what's going on. When I think about this, I think about just being urgent as ministers and pastors, you know, and I'm a minister. We have to warn everybody and let them know we're answerable to God for men's souls. As a matter of fact, listen to this urgent warning right now from Pastor John Kilpatrick of Church of His Presence. Listen to this. Watch.
What the Holy Spirit said. He said, "I have many ministers and they are speaking on my behalf." But he said, "What's missing is the urgency of their voice." These mega churches are really cognizant not to offend people. And they're really careful when they get up and preach to people that everybody leaves out there feeling really good. Preachers refuse to preach on the coming of Jesus Christ. Where's the urgency? I have never seen America in the place where we are right now. If you think that all the persecution is going to remain in Iraq against the Christians, you better think again. It's already coming into this country right now. If we don't tell people what they need to hear, God's going to hold us accountable and their blood will be on our hands. Whenever we preach, we've got to preach with an urgency in our voice that we need to be right with God if anything should happen to us. There's things right now in motion that may change our nation almost overnight. And for me to stand here and act like everything's all right, I can't do that. The politicians in Washington may can do that and lead you to believe that everything's going to be okay. But in the house of God, there's got to arise a siren that says, blast, 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 attention, attention, attention. Things are changing and they're changing quickly. We've got to have preachers in the pulpit that will say, watch out, warning, warning, red light, warning. People know something's going on in the Middle East. They know something's going on in Iraq, in Iran, in Damascus. They know about Iran. And people that's not even scripturally literate are trying to answer these things, and they're missing in a million miles. And God's saying to the preachers, get up and tell them. It's time to talk about what God's doing. People are seeking the Lord. People are seeking Christ. And if they don't find Him in the church, where are they going to find Him? I have a question. Where is the urgency?
A sense of urgency. Everything needs to be urgent. You're looking at folks and they're just sleeping. They're talking about entertainment. They're talking about their job and raises and money and vacation. And the urgency needs to be taking place, that we have to wake up. Listen, the Lord wants us to awaken so this storm does not come against us. But we have to understand that, listen, right in the middle, you're looking right here at the Russian Navy. The Russian Navy, that's what was behind at the Democratic National Convention. This what you're looking at? That's the Russian Navy. The Russian Navy's picture was right there behind our selection of our president, who we were selecting. That's what they put up there. That's their ships come from Russia. That's not the United States Navy. What's happening right now? Our military is being decreased and decreased and decreased. As a matter of fact, when you think about this, I think about, you know, what was spoken by our own president to Putin through his president at that time, talking about more flexibility after this election. Listen to what our president said.
My last election.
Basically, yeah.
And after my election, I have more flexibility.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. I transmit this information to Vladimir and Zelensky.
You think about that. He said, I'll have more flexibility after the election. The election's done, come and gone. Now we're having, intercepting reportedly Russian bombers off the coast of California and Alaska. What happens is if you go 12 miles out from the border lines of America, that's international waters beyond that, which means 12 miles out could be a Russian bomber coming around our coast. And we've seen this prophetically. God has shown us some of these things. But the thing about it, nobody was alerted. Nobody was concerned about these things. And it's like, we have to wake up. He says, when they see these things coming, if my people who are called by my name wake up, repent, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. And I'll stop this storm that I'm fashioning myself against a people who has rebelled against me that I'm in covenant with. Look at this. This is Fox News reporting about these bombers that hardly anybody's talking about. On the 4th of July. Watch.
Finally, we've just learned, Jenna, from NORAD that Russian warplanes were sighted off the coast of California and Alaska on July 4th, probing U.S. defenses twice, forcing U.S. F-15s and F-22s to scramble as Americans celebrated Independence Day. At the same time, Russian President Vladimir Putin called President Obama to wish him a happy 4th. Jenna?
That's interesting. That's the first that we're hearing of this, Jennifer. So much of the focus was on ISIS going into the weekend, and we talked so much about the heightened security alerts all over the country. So what do we know about what the Russian jets were up to?
Well, what we know, Jenna, is that these were Tupolev strategic bombers, known as bear bombers. They're capable of carrying strategic weapons, nuclear weapons, and they probed off of Alaska about 10:30 a.m. Eastern and 11 a.m. Eastern off the coast of California. The U.S. Air Force scrambled F-15s and F-22s to meet them. However, they did not enter U.S. airspace, which is 12 nautical miles off the coast of the continental U.S. Jenna.
Certainly some more questions on that to come. We'll talk more about that throughout the day. Jennifer, thank you very much for that report for us.
So you think about this. You think about this, that all these things are taking place, but yet she sleeps. All these things are taking place, and Americans and the church defaults decisions to Washington, D.C. 300-something million folks default to 530 folks in Washington, D.C., who openly are distrusted by the majority of Americans, not all of them, but most of them. And God's going, what about you? Who is God? Is government God or am I God? Did you know that you hold the power of transformation as a Christian, that Christ in you is the hope for America? Did you know that if you remain silent, you may be forced to be silent for an entire generation? Do you know if you say nothing, you might not have the choice to say something in the future? History says that if you remain silent, this is what happened. God will actually take you into a season that you won't even be able to speak until you're ready to speak for Him. I mean, you think about that. We have to wake up. It's not your pastor's responsibility for you to speak. Your pastor doesn't stand beside you on the judgment seat of Christ. He will stand alone, or she will stand alone before God for what they've done and what they're entrusted to speak a message to you. But you're God's sheep. You're accountable to Him. And so I want to encourage you that you wake up. If one woman by the name of Margaret Sanger decided that she wanted to eliminate parts of our people, the human race on the earth, and so she invents this form of the birth control pill because she was wanting to eliminate people, and the unwanted people, reports are, in the late 50s, she's invented that. And she was responsible for all that. If one lady by the name of, I forget her name at this moment, but in regards to stopped prayer and got the Bible out of schools, I mean, you think about that. Or if you think about one judge, you know, Judge Hugo Black, turns this First Amendment upside down on its nose when this card-carrying Klansmen sitting on the Supreme Court, put there by FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, to be able to push his agenda, also flipped the First Amendment around. And you think about it, what can you do? I mean, why is everybody looking for a crowd? God's not going to judge you collectively. He's not going to call you up as a whole group and say, no, this is what y'all did. He's going to look at you and say, what did you do with my son? What did you do with the life that you led? Did you follow him? I mean, I was thinking about this this morning on the way into this program. I said, as I was pondering, you know, do you follow God or do you follow money? So many people who say they follow God is they say they're going to follow God, but they're waiting on money to move before they move. I mean, which means they're following money. They're saying, yes, I know that I'm supposed to do this, but I'm waiting for my money to be right. I'm waiting for people to partner with me, sponsor with me, or whatever. And at first it's going like, didn't God just say, get thee up and go? Didn't he say, just respond? And this is also what he says. He says, you can't serve both God and money. There's so many people that are serving money while they're professing to serve God. And it's frustrating to be able to walk with the people who's serving money while you're trying to follow God. They're trying to say, you don't understand. I love God, but I follow money. I mean, at this point, we have to wake up. God's going to take care of you. God's going to meet your needs. This is an urgent time. We've got to begin to warn our neighbors, our friends, our family, because the time is near. The Russian bombers were off the coast of California and Arkansas, according to Fox News. And the president, who now has more flexibility of Russia, Putin, Alaska and California, and then the president of Russia is calling our president, the one that our president said, transmit this to President Putin, to Vladimir Putin, that I'll have more flexibility after the election. He calls him up and says, happy 4th of July. 4th of July is Independence Day. It's like everything is shouting to us to wake up, urgent, urgent, urgent warning. And today we're going to talk about, you know, what are some of the biblical explanations? What does it look like when God begins to progressively turn over a people that he's in covenant with, and they're in rebellion to him? What happens to that? And it's very explicit in the Bible how that happens. And we're seeing this thing take place again and again, and we're moving down this progressive road of being turned over. But the thing about it is, if we're not fully turned over yet, we still have a chance to just call out and say, God, we're sorry, Lord God. Lord, forgive us. We will follow you and follow you only. Join us after the break, and I'll begin to break that down for you. It's just a sense of urgency, and it's really it's hard to convince. I remember some people that enlisted in the military, and they're in Iraq, and they're telling mm-hmm. me the story. And while they're in the foxholes, it didn't dawn on them till the missiles were beginning to be fired. Did they wow. realize what all the training was about, what all the uniforms were about? And people had to look at them, you know, reportedly and go, this is what it's all about.
This is real.
John, they didn't wake up till they were in the foxholes. And wow. at that point, I mean, the probability of surviving, if you don't have a good force around you, in the natural sense, it's not good. Mm-mm. And of course, I'm not talking about necessarily a physical battle, but you're looking at, you know, what's the head of the DNC, Deborah Schultz?
Wasserman Schultz.
Yes. She was just interviewed, and what we're starting to see now, because the church has redefined, we've redefined ourselves as a building and an organization.
Yeah.
And how many people just drive down the street and they go, that's my church, and there's nobody in it. This is so important.
Yeah.
There's nobody in it. The pastor's not in there. His or her secretary's not in there. The worship leader's not in there. The janitor's not in there. I mean, there's nothing there. And we say, that's the church. When the Word of God says that we are the church, right. and when we come together, he's in our midst, and that when the church shows up in that building, then you can point it and you can legitimately say that's the church, but it's a building where the church meets.
Right.
Because what if you're actually meeting in a coffee shop? What if you're meeting in a house? What if you're meeting in a stadium? I mean, you wouldn't call that stadium that you're in the church, but if the church is in there, you can point at that stadium and say that's the church.
Right.
And why I'm saying this, because the just today, I watched the head of the Democratic National Convention, Deborah Wasserman Schultz. She said, oh, no. The Supreme Court ruling on First Amendment rights is that that religious people and all can say whatever they want to say inside their church.
Wow. Yes.
So. Think about that. So how can we, since we presented the wrong viewpoint of what the church is, and people are saying, I can say what I want to say anywhere I want to say it. And it's like, yeah, but the problem is we redefine what the church is, and they don't understand why you're at your business, you're still the church.
That's right.
While you are driving down the street, you're still the church. But the verbiage is, you've been saying that building's the church, and now they're saying, I don't mind you having First Amendment rights. As long as you go into that building all by yourself and nobody can hear you, and you can say whatever you want right. to in that building. We're wow. not going to control that. But when you come out here into the public square, when you come out into the marketplace, don't bring up anything about your God.
Mm.
And you think about this. Maybe you haven't. maybe the only time you talked about Jesus was when you was in that building.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know Jesus? I know Jesus. How do we get
the pep rally?
The pep rally, right?
The pep rally.
And so God, I mean, you think about what the Lord's saying to us, because nothing's happening by accident. You know, it's like, we got to wake up and start, you know, we got to start talking about him outside the building, mm-hmm. not politics, not parties. We got to talk about Jesus outside
We've
this building.
We got to get in the game.
Yes.
So many times we're talking about a fan mentality where we get in the pep rally inside the church walls, if you will, the building, and we get all excited, but we never take the field. And the field is the world. The field is where we live life, where we go to school, where we interact with people.
Yes. Well, you think about it, what's happening in our very eyes at this moment is they're saying, no. No, we're not trying to change anything that you've ever done to this point.
Right.
You can still do what you've been doing, which is nothing. you cannot just stick to what you've been doing in regards to, just don't bring Jesus up at the workplace. You know, do you bring him up at work, or do you more concerned about losing your job?
Mm.
Do you bring him up in your family or your family reunions? Do you bring him up in your community? If you haven't done it to this point, why do you want the right to do it?
Right.
And men don't have something. A trump on God. I mean, God's going at this point. Is that what you want? I can lock it up in that building. By the way, and if we do go with that, it's not going to stay there. It's going to be snuffed out altogether. First Amendment was about, we can say anything, anywhere, anytime, and what you believe, as long as it doesn't rob from somebody or break somebody's leg, you know, harm them in some way. But have we exercised, as the church, as Christians, have we exercised the right in the workplace where we get money for our labors, and at the threat of losing our money, preach the gospel there in a kind way?
No.
That's what I'm saying. So you have people fighting for rights right now, and it's like, but you haven't even exercised those rights to this particular point. And they know it. They're going like, what's so wrong? I mean, think about it from their viewpoint, because say their minds are blinded by the God of this world. They don't know what, you know. They're thinking, nothing's going to change.
Yeah.
No. This Supreme Court ruling's not going to change anything. You got the First Amendment rights. Just when y'all get together at 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock on Sunday, you can say anything you want to inside that stucco building, that brick building, that wood building. When y'all were to gather, we're just saying, when you come out into the marketplace, when you come out where people live, that you don't have First Amendment rights there.
Mm.
And the thing is about it, do we want First Amendment rights so we can be, you know, hateful and critical and, you know, things, you know, our preferences and what we think versus like, what does God want? What does God want us to say? And he says, go into all the world and tell them that I love them. I have a plan for their life. Let them know that at that point in time, that the kingdom that's within you can be manifest on them, where they can experience my awesomeness and my love for them. And they may come into the kingdom. And those that are actually saved, when you preach the good news to them, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to be my disciples. I mean, that's the point that we're supposed to do. He says, I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. And it's like, we got this mindset. Everybody's trying to hang on to that building. And now God's going, okay, you called the building the church.
Yeah. The mindset is bring everyone to the building a lot of times instead of
You called it the church. Think about it. You called that lousy building 50 years. You called it the church. And now they're actually thinking it's the church. And the building's not the church.
Wow.
The church may own the building. The people may be making the mortgage payment on the building.
Yeah.
But you're the church, which means you can't look at that building and that organization and expect them to do what God's calling you to do. This is an urgent hour. We have to wake up. You can't go, you need to go. It's us. We need to tell them. We have to tell them. And listen, you may be thinking, well, that might be kind of nice anyway. And you know that, you know, at least we still have our place that we can go and gather and we can sing songs to each other. If we just surrender the First Amendment, we surrender our call by God to go do, no matter what the First Amendment says, even if there was or wasn't a constitution, we still have to do it. If we were in Russia, if we were in China, we still have to obey God. It just was easier, and hopefully, you know, if God will continue to give us this freedom. But if we're not exercising the freedom now, I mean, how many ministers right now, you know, and we're ministers, so, you know, we're talking to ourselves, but how many people are carefully saying, trying not to rock the boat?
Being because politically correct, if you
because you know, like, the banker on. Might leave and we might lose the building, you know, because the you know, sister whatever has, you know, she's a big giver, and we got to maintain this the church, the building, the new carpet thing, and the thing about it was, you should have told Sister Susie, you know, I don't care what you do, you're still gonna have to repent, you're gonna have to follow God, and repentance may be this, it may be this, and this is what this pastor said, you know, he had a church about 1,200 people.
and he was talking to George Barna at the end of the particular book. I forget the name of his book.
U-Turn.
Yeah, No, not U-Turn. It was a later book when he got the first statistics on the study of the church.
Mm.
I think Jesus has left the building or tired of going to church or something of that nature. But he said, this is what he asked the question. He says, if he asked this pastor the question, they were eating lunch, a friend of his. He said, if you preach the kingdom of God, and that's the difference. When you preach the kingdom of God, everything else pales into comparison. We have a king. He has a kingdom. And his kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom dwells inside of those who are his. And he says, I want you to go preach the kingdom of God. I want you to go where I'm sending you. When you get close to them, tell them the kingdom is near. You know why the kingdom is near? Because the kingdom is inside of you. You're a kingdom container. The only way the kingdom can spread is if you get the up and go somewhere, because the kingdom is in you. God chose through his own wisdom to advance his own kingdom through us. And so when you think about that, you know, you have to take responsibility during this day and hour, that if one particular, what's that lady's name that was used to get prayer out of school?
Madeline O'Hara.
Madeline O'Hara. One woman. One judge, you know, Judge Hugo Black and Margaret Sanger, these three individuals. I mean, think about that. Imagine if you decided, you know what, I'm going to quit pointing my finger at anybody and I'm going to get involved. I'm not talking about getting involved in politics. I'm talking about getting involved in the kingdom of God. We're a global kingdom. When you think about it, every Christian on the face of the earth is part of the kingdom of God. So it's not an American thing. The cross is not wrapped up in the American flag. It's dripping with the blood of Jesus. Mm. It's that's who we are.
Wow.
Now, every nation that a fruitful Christian lives in benefits from the presence of the church being there, because God blesses
those nations.
But we have to wake up. I mean, there's so many things going on right now. There's so many people that's going to just twist this and turn that, and you know, and if you tell people somebody's going to, you know, so many people want to be liked.
Yeah. America's a great experiment, but we're not called to save America. We're called to save souls.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, this is not about our comfort and convenience. God's not interested in that. We have a limited amount of time.
Very limited.
The Bible says that life is but a vapor. We're here and then we're gone. And at the end of the day, we're only, you know, what did we do with this lifespan? What did we do? Were we faithful in the time that God gave us? The Bible says that David was faithful to serve in his generation.
And the thing about it is, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? So many people are trying to save the country so they can actually have the kingdom of God. And you have to understand that we have a country because God of the universe allowed us to have it.
That's right.
The founding documents, no matter what they say, you can read them. He says, all of our rights come from God. And it's signed in the year of our Lord. These are people that read the Bible and throughout an entire year, that was part of the schooling. It was, right. That's the word of God. No matter what people say, that's the founding of our country. There's a covenant made with God in this country, which means we're held to standards of that covenant, which if you think about this, when you look at the word of God, you can see how what happens to those who are in covenant with God. And it's pretty intense, but it's like minimum force necessary when you think about it. And we're seeing these signs. Well, I think about this, and we're about to go to break and come back and talk about this, but the Lord has shown us aircraft in prophetic night visions with Russian insignias on them flying over the center, I believe, of our nation. And now, you know, this is after that, we're seeing them on our coast. We're seeing them, I don't know if it was 13 miles out from California and 13 miles out from Alaska, then that means what? That means that they were 13 miles away from our land. A bomber, the Enola Gay, the plane that carried the bomb that dropped on Hiroshima, it was in a plane like that.
Mm.
It's similar, a bomber type plane. And so we have to wake up. Why aren't we even thinking about this? And we think about too that, you know, Texas is asking for their gold back, like 5,700 bars of gold.
Mm.
And you know, Texas kind of, you know, anyway. It's almost like if we talk about this, a hub state, there'll be part of the states to help America, you know, stand up for what's right. And the fact that they're calling for their gold back, and it's like, do we not hear this? Are we not listening to this? Are we thinking, yeah, we need somebody like Billy Graham. We need somebody like, you know, Oral Roberts. We need somebody like Miss Wigglesworth is like, no, we need somebody like you.
That's right.
I mean, this is who the leaders are in this generation.
They were faithful to serve God in their generation, but they passed the baton. But if you're not willing to pick up the baton and run the race that God's marked out for us, then there's no one to run it.
Yes, yes. And I'm sounding urgent. We're sounding urgent. And Pastor John Kilpatrick is sounding urgent because we're accountable to God, this king that we're talking about. We're accountable. What did we do with what he told us? You know, that's who we're accountable to. And if you want, let me tell you, one way to do it is to join in with VFN TV.
Yeah.
Partner, sponsor, participate, serve at these mountain events that happen. There's so many things going on that you don't have to be silent anymore. You want to be, join, you know, go to civilchristianity.org and sign that pledge and say, you know, I want to walk rightly before the Lord, and I will walk with those who are in agreement with walking in love. And because it's going to get really, really rowdy.
That's right.
And God's folks are not supposed to be that way. We're supposed to move in love and but in the wisdom and the ways of God. And if we'll do that, if we will do that, if we will turn and we'll follow God, God will give us the land. But it's a byproduct of our repentance. It is not something that he's just going to just push on us. Mm. I mean, we got to turn back to him. So when we get back from the break, I want to talk about what are the steps of a nation, you know, basically a father saying, now, listen to me. Hmm. And then it's a little bit bigger. Okay, listen to me. This is going to happen. And why would a father give so many warnings to a son or a daughter that they didn't want to have to discipline? Because he loves them.
Right.
He doesn't want to have to do that. We're in the middle of probably the last couple warnings taking place. And you'll see it biblically when we get back from the break. I know I'm sounding urgent today is because I'm urgent. I'm hoping that you sense the sense of urgency. The Lord has shown me some things. I'm not depending on what other people tell me, but what I'm hearing, what other men and women are hearing from the Lord, agrees with what the Lord has said to me. It's an amen to what God has been showing me. And I saw America in chains. I saw the chains, John. I saw a slave band around the neck of America.
Wow.
And I saw looped chains, rings on both sides of the leather collar, and then I saw chains on both sides. And then I saw America break free from the ones that were holding her. And then the chains were grabbed again.
Wow.
And then she broke free again. Well, that's not going to happen. We're not going to break free because, you know, it's just some sort of predestined thing that happens in the midst of a rebellion that, you know, God just takes, you know, it's because we wake up and we just say, wait a minute, the adversary is coming in. Wait a minute, there's something taking place. I hear the sound of a horn and a warning. I see the watchman on the wall that's warning about what's going on. I know, you know what I'm saying? That's when we shake ourselves loose from these chains. Slavery, the Lord has shown us very specifically that it's not, Washington, D.C. is not our problem. We need to pray for Washington, D.C. The problem is God's folks, those that with us that say that we are God's folks. He says it's us that determine the outcome of a nation. He says, if my people who are called by name, he says, when these things happen, what things? I don't know, your enemy flying a bomber right outside your coast and nobody saying anything about it. Your president saying that I'll have more flexibility after the election. And then you see and has a Russian Navy behind them. I don't know, maybe... This is that we need to wake up. He says, I do nothing unless I actually reveal it first. So he's letting us know what's going on. And I saw America in chains and just a slave collar around America. The Lord showed us it's not, if you think it's Washington, D.C., and if you go trying to interfere and try to blame it on Washington, D.C., it's going to be more rapid. It's going to be more rapid. The Lord showed us very specifically the America going into servitude. If you think our problem is some political party, if you think it's some people and some whatever, you know, we talked about strategies, but it's not to be able to blame people. It's for us to awaken and realize, don't go that way. Then you're missing it. But if you think, this is what I believe the Lord is saying to us. If you think it's Washington and you go to Washington trying to fix your problem, it will end with America in servitude. Mm-hmm. If you think it's removing this person or that person from office, doing away with this person or that person, you know, voting them out or whatever like that, then America will go right into servitude. But if you realize that our God is in control, if you realize that he's the one that's in control, and you go, you know what, I'm going to acknowledge my sin. I'm going to get in the Word of God. I'm going to find people who actually are the church and no longer think a building's the church, and it could be people in your building, I'm not saying that, and you're going to take God seriously, and you're going to begin to walk out as his disciple who knows his teachings and follow his teachings. And it says he that is true disciple that knows and follows his teaching, guess what? You get free. You have freedom when you do that. He says, and he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So freedom for America will only come when we repent as his followers, as Christians, to become followers. That's what Christian means, Christ follower. And so I saw America in chains. And some of the biblical things, you know, that you can look at, what happens, you know, God's the same day today and yesterday, that he says specifically, you know, in his word, the first thing that he'll do is just a gentle father just going, don't you remember? Don't you remember where you were when I found you? Don't you remember you were in captivity and you were in that bondage and you thought you couldn't get out and, you know, you were under Pharaoh and I heard your cries. Remember, you didn't even know. You just cried out. You didn't have any religious terminology yet. You didn't know any scripture. You just cried out, and I made a way for you. I mean, you even talked against me in that way, remember, and your back was against the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army was coming after you, and I still didn't give up on you. And I said, you know, I talked to the leader there who you criticized all the leadership that I put in your life, and I didn't even do away with you at that point. And then your leader, I told him to raise his staff, and it parted your situations and your circumstances, the Red Sea. Do you remember that? And you walked through on dry ground, and you got to the other side. Do you remember when you were actually singing, you had that song in your heart, and you grabbed the tambourine like Miriam, and you were jumping around going, God is good, God is good. And all of a sudden, the Red Sea closes in on your enemy, and it killed your enemy. You remember when I did that? And now you're going to complain about bitter water? And I just wanted to show you that I'm actually your healer. Now you're complaining about the water. I threw the stick in the water. I told him what to do. Do you remember all that walking through the wilderness? Don't you remember? I was taking you on like a 40-day journey, but it ended up in 40 years because you complained all the way through the whole thing. And I still wanted you to go in. But when you got there, you were still too terrified for me to give you the promise. I couldn't even give you the promise because you were too scared to be able to go in. Don't you remember? It's this kind of conversation. And how many people today, John, you can't even talk to them about any historical events in their life, but you're going like, you're just criticizing me. I'm trying to prevent this bomber off our coast. I'm trying to, you know. And the thing about this, I really believe it's because this generation is only living for itself. It's not thinking about the next. And if we're killing our own babies because we want a better today in abortion, and we're not even thinking about tomorrow. If we're spending $17 trillion today. By the way, young people, just so you know this, if God allows this country to move a little bit further than present day, you're going to pay for this.
Somebody's going to pay for this.
$17 trillion, guess what? And don't take us out. You know, don't blame it on us thinking we're expensive because all of a sudden we're in a nursing home or something.
Yeah. Makes me think of James Robinson, a word that he put out, which was humility or humiliation.
Yeah.
And if we don't embrace humility.
Humble yourself or be humiliated.
Yeah, and
which you can see that on the torch, by the way.
Well, yeah, I mean, and the thing is, right now, only a prideful generation or prideful people can take, you know, look at and blame someone else. The Bible says.
By the way, just so I'm going to understand that word pride, something that we just kind of lock off. What this means is, I'm just thinking about myself.
Yeah,
self-focused. I think that I know what's right. You know, that type of thing. So when you're talking about that prideful generation, it's one that's focused on themselves, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and take all the credit. All these miracles that God did for the Israelites, and yet when Moses went up to the mountain, they're creating a golden calf and they're worshiping idols and all this. They quickly forgot what God has done. And if we don't keep ourselves low and focusing on the Lord and what he's done and what he's doing, we're left to ourselves.
And so, and so then, you know, he's talked to you already. He's given you, you know, a gentle reminder. And now he increases it and he gives you a firm talking to. You know, he will actually have people, men and women, who he'll share his word. So by the way, if any person says that they're more important because they actually heard what heaven was saying, the truth is if they don't tell you this, your blood's going to be on their hand. This has to do this. You're just as valuable as anybody that's being used in any ministry position. We've got to quit lifting men and women up. What happens is he reveals to them, they happen to hear some of the secrets of heaven and they're revealing it to you because they're compelled to do so. And if they don't do it, then God's going to hold them accountable because he loves you so much. He compelled that man or woman to tell you that. They're not more important. Their life was on the line. Ezekiel 17 says that he will hold them personally accountable for not telling you. And so you have to warn. And so now you're going to have a firm, I mean, it's going to be really firm, very specifically, you know, and there's not going to be a way to get out of it. It's not like, you know, you're going to have to be yes or no with this thing. You cannot, you know, you got to call sense in. You got to say, I'm sorry at this point. And if you don't respond to that, and America hasn't responded to that because... Mm-hmm. You know, humble yourself or be humiliated was, you know, some years ago when he gave that. And so then the next thing he'll do is he'll begin to say, listen, I have a storm. and I'm allowing it to be fashioned, or I'm fashioning against you. Either way, there's a storm, ever how you want to do your doctrine. There's a storm being fashioned against you. I'm telling you this because I want you to do what I whispered in your ear in the beginning. I want you to do that firm talking to. So I just want to let you know, there's a hurricane off your coast. It's about 200 miles out. It's a Category 5, and it's coming your way. I mean, how merciful is that?
Mm.
He's saying, I'm a fashioning a storm. Okay, I'm only trying to increase the urgency of the moment that you need to deal with your stuff. And let me tell you something. If you'll deal with it, I'm telling you, God is so loving. He's just looking for an opportunity to be merciful to us. He's wanting us to acknowledge our sin so he forgives us. And it's just so good. So he warns us, and he begins to reveal the conditions, you know, of this particular. He starts talking about it. Like, you think about Jehoshaphat when all of a sudden he made bad relationships, bad covenants, with bad agreement with people he shouldn't have been in agreement with, people who said they were God's folks, who were operating in the place they should have been right before God, and they were chosen to be in that place because God put them there. But God said, because you got in covenant with that particular person who was wrong, I'm going to judge you. You know, King Jehoshaphat, he was king of Judea, and Ahab was king of the north, king of Israel. And so here God warns him early on and says, within 24 hours, the hurricane's going to hit. Within 24 hours, it's coming. They're bigger than you. They're stronger than you. They're more powerful than you. And they're going to annihilate every part of you. I mean, you think about that. Mm. Why is he doing that? Because you didn't respond when he whispered at you. He didn't respond when he reminded you of his goodness towards you and how he parted your situations and brought you through. You didn't respond when you had the firm talk until you walked away offended, you know, that you're going to have to deal with your stuff. And now he warned you on the wall. And you didn't. Now he's like, okay, it's out there. You know, it's out there. And he says, this is what he says in his word. He says, if you warn them about this hurricane, the storm coming, the Russians, you know, flying around the coast, if you, ISIS, 450,000 radical jihadists, according to Qum Ministries, you know, Kamal Saleem, inside of our borders. If you warn them, I'll just stop it. Just like what happened on the 4th of July, when you kneeled down in sackcloth and you prayed and you asked me to stop this thing that was going to come on the 4th of July, the very ones that instigated this, that I had them killed in Syria, the ones that was provoking Americans to come against Americans, God had them eliminated off the face of the earth. That's the God that we serve. So Jehoshaphat, what he did was he responded. And God gave him a strategy, and he says, I want you to march out and begin to praise me now that you're in right relationship to me. Now you know that it's me that holds things together. Now you know that it's I who wins these battles. He said, the battle's not yours, the battle's mine. The victory's yours. And then God defeated the enemy. Well, why is that? God's the one that fashioned the storm to come against Jehoshaphat. That was the discipline. Consider hardships discipline. I'm treating you as a son. He didn't want that to come against him, but it took Jehoshaphat to go, oh, dear God. Forgive me for the bad covenant I made, the bad agreement I made with relationships I shouldn't have. This is how it works. But I'm looking right now. We're right at the point of Israel or Judea and Jehoshaphat, and nobody's positioning themselves to receive from God. Mm. Nobody's even seeing the storm. Nobody's really seeing the storm. Where is the news reports that are saying what we just said to you about what's taking place? We're going to talk more about this when we get back from the break, because there's good news. You're in total control of your life. God has given you authority to do something about this. And there's nobody on all the earth that's ever been, that ever is, that ever will be, that will take that from you. But you got to exercise that will. More we get back from the break. We're talking about this urgency of now. There's not a more greater moment than now to be urgent. When you think about this, we're talking about the progression of what happens biblically when we look at things that take place and how merciful God is. Remember, if God wanted us to be destroyed, it would happen instantly. If a father just wanted to hurt his or her child, they wouldn't even said anything. They would have went right in and hurt that child. But if they warned that child for 6 years, and then they actually, you know, suspend them for something for a week or whatever, they were trying to prevent that from happening. These warnings are coming, and at this point, America has not yet responded. Mm. And so the next progression is, when we're not responding, he says, the storm is out here, it's right on the edge. What is the next thing that happens? This is the next thing that happens. The enemy floods the borders and runs rampant all over that nation. They'll be everywhere. Just wildness all over the place. And it's a spirit. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but a spiritual wickedness. So you'll have people who have a spirit of rebellion that instantly demonic activity will begin to jump on them, and they'll just do stuff that's just crazy. I just saw a man that was in his front yard, and he was making a telephone call, and he looks at his phone and then looks up and he sees a guy walking on the sidewalk, which is about 25 feet away. When he looks back down at his phone and looks back up again, seconds, that guy had closed the distance by 75 feet and was pulling a gun on him, tied his hands behind his back, and began to drag him into his own house in front of his own passing by traffic. He had a fight and fight and fight, and he got broke loose. He broke loose from this particular suspect, and he started had a fight again. Next thing, he was back on his front porch again. He drug him inside of his house, and he fought and he fought and he fought, and the man shot him as he was fighting in his hip. And he had to roll in the yard to get close to the traffic that was coming by. And once the enemy who was trying to destroy him saw that he was in the public eye, he walked away like nothing happened. Mm. I can't help but just feel in the intensity of my spirit that that's what the church is. If we don't get out in the public and begin to confess who we are, the enemy only has a hold on those who are embarrassed and ashamed or in sin or in darkness. But if you'll get free from that devil that's trying to tie you up and put you in your house and you fight like this guy fought, I'm telling you, I was just like, oh, it was so beautiful to see somebody fight. It was so horrific to see what happened to him. But dear God, he fought. Mm. It's time to fight for your freedom. It's time to fight for your salvation. It's time to get out and fight for the souls of men. Just forget about everything and realize it's not, the chicken or the egg comes first. Let me tell you something. The kingdom of God comes first, and then we'll have America. We turn to God, and then we'll have America. The next thing that's going to happen, let me tell you what's going to happen. There's going to be a floodgate of devil, demonically oppressed individuals who want to mean harm to you, harm to this nation, harm to anything good, anything bad. They're even going to harm things that actually feeds them. It's going to be such a destroying spirit on them that they're just going to destroy even the very food, if you would, that they need to eat in the morning time. We saw bits and pieces of this, but the destroyer is going to be loose. You can't blame that on folks. You have to say, wait a minute. It's because we didn't listen to the gentle whisper. We didn't listen to the warning. We didn't believe the storm. Even when it was coming against us, we didn't. And this is what happens next. Either he puts that nation up under the oppression of their enemy, or he disperses us to all the nations and he assimilates us. He lets the enemy assimilate us into the pagan cultures. And somebody said, oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. It's like, if you're already walking like a pagan, how different is it going to be for you to be in a pagan culture? Mm. He was saying to Israel, like, let's just clear this out. Because you know what was after this? Babylonian captivity came after this in Israel. They're going right into Babylonian captivity. And in fact, if we end up in Babylonian captivity, I don't want to hear none. It's time. This is the moment. And no matter what, it's not about trying to save your life. He that tries to save his life will lose it. But if you'll lay down your life for the cause of Christ, so many people are trying to save their life. And it's just... Why? What kind
for
of life?
What?
So they can watch TV, John. Yeah. I mean, you ain't doing nothing. I mean, do something for God. Lay down your finances for God. Lay down your energy for God. It's time to get busy. Listen, if where you are ain't doing what I'm talking about, find somebody who is. It's time for you to get united. We got to stand up and love for God. I'm telling you, there's an urgent, urgent moment in time. And this is what awaits us. I think the scattering of people who want to mean harm to our nation is next. I think if we don't respond, and it's not because they have some secret plan, it's because we didn't listen to his rebuke. We didn't listen to him. And I think about this. I think about Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. He says, out in the open, wisdom calls. Aloud, she raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gates, she makes her speech known. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refused to listen to when I called and no one paid attention when I stretched out my hand, since you disregarded all advice and you would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh, America, when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when disaster and trouble overwhelms you, then when you call to me, I will not answer. They will look to me, but they won't find me. Since they hated knowledge and they did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. And this is the good news. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear. It's your choice. Choose today.
Here's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, I have many ministers, and they are speaking on my behalf. But he said, what's missing is the urgency of their voice. These mega churches are really cognizant not to offend people. And they're really careful when they get up and preach to people that everybody leaves out there feeling really good. Preachers refuse to preach on the coming of Jesus Christ. Where's the urgency? I have never seen America in the place where we are right now. If you think that all the persecution is going to remain in Iraq against the Christians, you better think again. It's already coming into this country right now. If we don't tell people what they need to hear, God's going to hold us accountable and their blood will be on our hands. Whenever we preach, we've got to preach with an urgency in our voice that we need to be right with God if anything should happen to us. There's things right now in motion that may change our nation almost overnight. And for me to stand here and act like everything's all right, I can't do that. The politicians in Washington may can do that and lead you to believe that everything's gonna be okay. But in the house of God, there's got to arise a siren that says, blast, 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 attention, attention, attention. Things are changing and they're changing quickly. We've got to have preachers in the pulpit that will say, watch out, warning, warning, red light, warning. People know something's going on in the Middle East. They know something's going on in Iraq, in Iran, in Damascus. They know about Iran. And people that's not even scripturally literate are trying to answer these things, and they're missing in a million miles. And God's saying to the preachers, get up and tell them. It's time to talk about what God's doing. People are seeking the Lord. People are seeking Christ. And if they don't find him in the church, where are they going to find him? I have a question. Where is the urgency?
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.